I'm speaking today with Yolanda Navarro Flores, who is one of the candidates for City Council District H in the May special election. First question I'd like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
Very simply put, because I care about what happens in the district. I'm a lifelong resident. I have a passion for public service. And I think I've done a good job at Houston Community College, and I'd like to be able to extend what I do and affect more people in a different way, really positive impact.
Okay, now you are a trustee with the HCC system.
Yes.
So, I guess, first of all, tell me how you feel that experience would benefit you as a council member, and, you know, why you decided to why you would like to change jobs.
How it has impacted me, HCC. Well, it's showed me different ways of working with collaboratively with my colleagues. There are 9 members on the HCC board. We all have single member districts. We all represent different constituencies. Sometimes there's crossovers, but we've learned to work with one another, to understand each other, to be able to support one another. And that's a kind of a working team skill that I would bring to City Council. The other things that I've learned there is dealing with budgets, working with property taxes. We were able to, under my leadership, to reduce the property tax rate last year. I don't know if you were aware of that, but we did. And we also managed to work very strongly and stringently on the budget to not only bring it at the budget level it should be, but also to reduce our costs. And I think we were the only institution, probably in the nation, that both reduced the property tax rate and reduced taxes. We increased enrollment, and that shows some effort on our part as a board to make sure that our mission and our goal is implemented and carried out effectively.
Okay. Well, since you brought up the budget, that was one of the things I wanted to ask about anyway. Obviously, we're in tough economic times these days. How should the city of Houston respond from a budgetary perspective to the economic climate that we're in? What should we prioritize? Where should we cut? What should we be doing?
Yeah, I think the one issue that's probably on many people's minds is public safety, and that already takes a good 50% plus of our budget. I don't see us really cutting back because, as you well know, there are more and more people speaking out on the crime issue. You know, we want to be safe in our homes and in our neighborhoods. And, you know, you can't blame people for that. On the other hand, you also want people who want bigger CIP projects. They want to have maintenance. They want to make sure that their streets are taken care of and that their sidewalks. And there's things that affect the quality of life. And as it should be, as everyone should have the opportunity to have a better quality of life. On the flip side of that, however, is how the money is doled out. And it's very, very difficult. There are going to be some tough choices for whomever is in that position to make regarding the budget, because it's going to be some give and take, lots of give and take. And I think that's what I bring to the board, is the ability to be able to work with folks and understand the budget process. We've handled, in my term at Houston Community College, well over $1 billion of your tax dollars, and we've done it very efficiently. We've also managed and supervised properties that have been worth millions and millions of dollars, and we've managed to keep ourselves always in the black and still maintain our buildings and have them in good condition. And also serve our students and our public well.
Okay. You brought up crime. That's another issue that people have been talking about a lot lately. What specifically would you like to be able to do as a district council member to address concerns about crime in this district?
Yeah, my concern about that is that we don't put everything on government. Obviously, government is law enforcement, and we have to have that. But we also should be looking at ways that we can join together with government, with law enforcement agencies, and try to work together. There, even with the event that was held over at Proctor Plaza, people who are in law enforcement right now are saying to people, lock your doors, close your windows, be on the lookout, do simple little things that'll help you and help deter crime. If there's something suspicious going on, report it. Be proactive. Don't just sit back and react when something's already happened. Those are minor things that we can do just to help protect ourselves. But what I'd like to see is agencies work with one another in a collaborative manner and to be able to communicate with one another. And there's a very large number of law enforcement agencies in Houston and Harris County. I'd like to see, and you're the IT person, see them be able to communicate better with one another, work collaboratively with one another. When the crime forum was held over at the library, the Heights Library, there was one person that talked about constables and what it would take to get one. So people patrol your streets, and it's costly. And not every neighborhood can do that. But I would like to see them work collaboratively because we're already putting our tax dollars into constables and marshals and police department. So in order to make our money stretch a little better, a little farther, and work a little better, a little harder for us, I'd like to be able to see them work together. Victor Trevino has a tremendous program. He has a number of volunteer deputies. Not every constable has to do that, but I'll tell you what, his area is one of the best patrolled in the city. And people feel good about having constables there. You know, having them work with our police department and having them work together and not competitively.
Okay. The CIP that you mentioned was recently released for the district a few weeks ago. Give me your take on what was in there, what you would like to see prioritized, what you might like to see added or removed.
You know, the district is very, very large. You're familiar with different interests. Because just yesterday I was talking to somebody from Denver Harbor, and that person said, we never get anything. And that man has been in that community all of his life. And that's how he feels. And Denver Harbor, we're talking about people living very closely together in older clapboard homes, ditches, no sidewalks, lots of different problems, different issues. And when you go over to the west side of the district, the concerns there and the requests for CIPs are drastically different from what you get on the east side of the district. So, and I'm not sure that the people on the east side of the district are actually participating that strongly in their request for CIP. At the CIP meeting that was held, where Melissa Noriega chaired the meeting, the gentleman from the east end talked about the sewer gases being released and talked about infrastructure. Somebody else talked about bike trails. You see the vast difference there in the approaches to CIP. That's one of the problems that whoever serves in this position is going to have to address. And it's going to be some give and take on the CIP because there's just such opposing interests at this point. And we really need to look at some of the areas that have been neglected for such a long time. CIP, it's not going to happen overnight. CIP is planning right now. It's planning for the future. And what we're really looking at that people can kind of sink their teeth into are more the maintenance type of projects that the district has.
Okay. District H contains a number of neighborhoods that are historic and have expressed an interest and in some cases fought some battles over preservation laws. What's your take on this, and what, if anything, would you like to see done to enable neighborhoods to strengthen preservation laws?
Well, you know, I'd like to see them have a little bit more participation in the city government. I'd like to see the appointments on the Planning Commission open up. I'd like to see maybe new folks and new ideas being presented at that level. I think that's something that we need to explore and something that more people should be given the opportunity to serve on.
Okay. As you know, Metro recently signed a construction agreement for building some of the new light rail lines, including the North Line.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, how would you like to see them proceed, not just with building these lines, but, you know, if you're elected to this seat, you'd be serving presumably through the year 2015. The construction they're talking about here would be theoretically completed by 2012. Where would you like to see them go next, and what would you like to see them do after these lines are built?
Well, you know that the lines go through District H on the north end and the east end. So it touches the district on both ends. And how would I like to see them go? I'd like to see them get started. It's been a long time in the planning process. Metro's taken a long time in trying to get the contracts going. You know, they had the Washington Group, now they have Parsons. You know, contracts need to be signed. The longer you wait, the more the cost goes up. So I'd like to just really see them get it going and show people that it can be positive. I was talking to an elderly woman. She's about 86 years old. And you know what? She was excited about the rail coming in. I mean, she just thought it was a wonderful thing, and she was really looking forward to it. I hope that she can see it.
I'm a lot younger than that, and I hope I live to see it.
But anyway, and you know, she even recognized that we need to do something about transportation in Houston. You know, where we'd like to see it go, I'd like to see it go to where it can serve more people, you know, and really, I think this is only the beginning to get people used to the idea, have them become really customers of the rail line and see how positive it can be and how much better it can be. And the other thing is we need to, and I don't know if we're going to do it, but you know, Houston's laid out pretty widely, and get people used to the idea that we can use a rail system as our transportation, as opposed to getting in our cars and driving wherever we want, whenever we want.
Okay. Well, speaking of driving, TxDOT has been talking. It's all right. I like that. TxDOT has been talking about doing a widening of I-45 for a long time. That came up a couple years ago. It's kind of been on the back burner. It's looking like it's coming back to the forefront again. As they engage the community on this, what would you like to see happen, both procedurally and however else, in terms of a possible I-45 widening north of downtown?
You know, I'd really like for them to take into consideration what the people ask for. And I don't know that TxDOT necessarily does that anywhere. It seems like we're always having to hit TxDOT with a hammer over the head to get them to listen to what people want. This is where we live. This affects us. They make the decision, but I'd like for them to be able to take in all of the suggestions and the comments that are made and work with us in such a way that what their goal is accomplished, but it's accomplished in such a manner that it's friendly to everyone, or at least let's just say something that'll be palatable to both sides. It's not going to be an easy task. I mean, you know that there have been meetings after meetings after meetings, and we're still at this point. So that someone in TxDOT is going to have to start working with the community and listening to the community. Otherwise, we're going to be in the same position we are today, and we'll be there for a long time. We have to start progressing.
City of Houston recently has started a pilot expansion of its recycling program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some neighborhoods now have, you know, larger bins. They don't have to separate recyclables. The object is to increase the participation in recycling citywide, which is right now very low.
Mm-hmm.
What's your opinion of this new plan, and what would you like to see the city be doing, maybe in addition to that or instead of that?
Well, I'd like for them just to have it be made available to more communities. Personally, I like the big bin. I think the little smaller ones that we had just weren't big enough, and some people had things overflowing as they put out the recyclables. But I think it's good that we have a pilot project going. I'm part of it and participating in it. I've recycled for years ever since the program started. And I wish more people were given that opportunity. And I know I've talked to people who've asked for it. And they said, you know, we don't have it in my neighborhood. I wish we would. Because people do care. They care about the communities. They care about the environment. And they care about the future for their kids. And it gives us a feeling of trying to preserve and protect the environment for our kids when we do something simple like recycle newspapers and aluminum and glass. So it gives us a comfortable feeling, and it's a good thing for the city.
Mm-hmm. This November we'll be electing a new mayor. What aspects of Mayor White's tenure would you like to see this new mayor continue, and what aspects would you like to see them not continue?
Well, you know, you've got to give Bill White credit. He did an excellent job of working with people. And I know that there are some business interests that say, well, maybe he didn't do as well, or there weren't enough opportunities. But I think his focus was really on trying to do the best that he could for the city. And that's the one thing that I think any mayor is going to want to do, and that is to work in the best interests of all the citizens. And that's what we'd like to see continue.
Anything you'd like to see not continue?
Well, I'm just going to leave that up to the mayor. Fair enough.
The race you're in, there's a total of 9 candidates. What distinguishes you from the other candidates in this race?
Can I give you a real simple answer?
Go right ahead.
I'm the woman.
Well, that wasn't supposed to be the only distinguishing thing. There was supposed to be another.
I'm the person that brings in, I'm ready to hit the ground running. We're going into a budget cycle as soon as the person gets into that office. I've got the experience of working with the budget. I'm familiar with the process. I have the experience. I'm the only one that's had experience in dealing and developing public policy, so I'm aware of the constrictions, the restrictions, the possibilities that go into the development of public policy. I have a long, long history of involvement in the community. I'm not a Johnny Ken Lately in many, many issues. You know, I've been out there for a long, long time. And I bring all of these things to the board. I mean, not to the board, but to the council. And I'm the one that has that rich background, that rich experience that really give me a boost in being able to hit the ground running.
Okay. Yolanda Navarro-Flores, thank you very much for talking to me today.
You're welcome.